I'm Gavin Munro, we're full grown and we grow trees directly into the shapes of chairs and tables and lamps. We were in the Saturday Times and that seemed to start off a bit of an avalanche of media interest from all over the world. We called the Department for International Trade. Lady came out, she really broke it down, helping us know what to do and in what order. And it meant that we could get our products to America, which was one of the main areas of interest. If we can, you can. Search Exporting is Great.
For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Hello and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old Brahms. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, and here I am with the gorgeous, immeasurable, innumerable Wapo, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. I love you so much. I'm just pulling random adjectives.
No, do it.
Innumerable. Do it.
No, I'm innumerable. There's so many of me. That's what innumerable means, right? That's numerous.
So, you guys, we always start these shows. It's like multibenity.
It's like hard to remember words.
We usually start these shows telling you, come to our live shows. And yes, you must. This one we're starting in New York City, saying come to our live shows, like the one that we're about to do tomorrow night at the Bowery Ballroom for 600 and something people. Yes, motherfuckers. Yeah. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
So it's many of you are going to be there.
I am beyond excited. I cannot wait. It's going to be like pure madness. Bedlam craziness. We have for those of you who got VIP tickets, we are doing a meet and greet. What time is the meet and greet at, Ronnie, again?
It's 2 hours before the show. So the show's at 9, the meet and greet's at 7.
Yeah, meet and greet's at 7. Doors open for everyone at 8 p.m. I'm like 8 a.m. 8 p.m. Show's at 9. It's at 9. It's a late show. Okay. But it's going to be fun. And it's really we're going to show DJ James Kennedy what a Tuesday turn up, see you next Tuesday Coachella event is really about. Okay.
And just to set the scene, we are both in New York. Ben is at his family's home, yes, which looks gorgeous from the Instagram. And yeah. I am in a loft hotel in Soho because I was like, oh, we're going to be downtown. I'm going to be crazy and stay downtown. I've never done that when I lived here, never lived downtown. So I got this like little loft hotel, and girl, it is a corner of a closet. It is just like a loft. There's a bunk bed in here, and it's all made out of tile, and the toilet and shower are in the room.
No. So you're in a prison cell.
Pretty much.
That's a prison cell. And there's bars on the window, and it's on some island called Rikers. I thought it was going to be like an exclusive resort, but it turns out there's like a lot of people in here.
It's actually really, really beautiful. It's just really tiny, and it echoes, and there's so many places. Someone's probably going to knock and tell me to shut the fuck up, because here I am yelling in a tile room like a crazy person on a bunk bed like a child. So I'm also on a different mic. I'm on my travel mic. So if I sound cray-cray today, that's why, everybody, okay?
How has the downtown experience been for you? Have you been reenacting the big opening number of Little Shop of Horrors?
It is nothing like that, okay? Well, it's very nice. It's very pretty, but it's like a ghost town. It's like The Walking Dead here. I go outside to smoke, and I'm like, bleh. And people are like, oh, my God, it's a fat guy in Old Navy jogging pants, you know? And they all start, like, running away. And then I'm like, why am I eating somebody's arm? This is so weird.
Did you Have you seen Tinsley walking around lost looking for her blowout space?
I just feel so lost down here in downtown. I can't be my blowout guy's up on the Upper East Side.
No, but I am a total tourist because I'm looking everywhere for Bethany.
Oh, my God. That would be if you ran into Bethany.
I don't want to. That's like my greatest nightmare is running into Bethany. Like, what if we ran into Bethany? That's the one person you would never think would recognize us at all. Like, why the fuck would she? But that's like terrifying to me that she'd be like, oh my God, is that you? Get over here, Uncle Fester. You know,
Is he a podcast or something? What's going on? You have pods? What is that? Like, pee pods? Like, what is it? What's a podcast? What? Like, why does anyone want to see a pee pod on the, like, a broadcast pee pod? Like, I don't get it. Like, what's going on? That's a joke. It's a joke. Okay.
Listen, I'm not swallowing your Tide Pods, okay? You figgito burrito. Get out of here.
I would be terrified, but I feel like if I saw her within 24 hours of our live show, I think something would come over me. I'd be like, Bethany, you have to come to our show. You have to. Well, by the way, I actually wrote a comment last night at like 2:30 a.m. on Luann's Instagram page. I've never done this before, and I was like, because she posted something like 2 hours prior, being like, "Would you believe it, girls? I'm doing cabaret. Look at this dress." And I was like, "Luann, come to our show at the Barry Ballroom. It's sold out." Hoping that she'd be like, "Oh, the thrill, the people need me," but no response. I also tweeted at Adam Rippon.
I don't know why that makes me laugh so much, but it does. It's hilarious.
I tweeted Adam Rippon too, along with the rest of the world, including like people like Britney Spears. And I was like, Adam, you have an open invitation to come on to watch what crappens. And actually, I tweeted that thinking as being sort of like novel. And then like 2 days, like 2 hours later, Britney Spears was like, at Adam Rippon, you are hilarious. You should come to one of my shows. Like, well, I can't compete with Britney Spears.
I hate to be rude, but who is Adam Rippon?
He is a global sensation. He is he is the American figure skater who the gay
I'm exhausted already. Okay.
He's from Los Angeles, but the theme of his figure his like short program or long program or whatever it was, his theme was broken bed.
Oh, I was wondering what all those tweets meant.
You're like, who's Adam? What's the broken bird? Like, I don't get this skating as a figures and eights and such and such. What's the matter? What's going on? Why the skating? Like, where's the hockey puck?
What's the matter? What's going on? What's the matter? What's going on? Hey, this is totally something I should have said offline, but are you backup recording this just in case?
I'll do it right now. I'll press record right now.
Girl, this is a vacation episode. You never know what's going to happen up in here.
I can tell you one thing that's probably going to happen. One of my parents will probably walk in the door. Because I'm here once again broadcasting from my childhood bedroom, and my parents are in the other room, and I told them, okay, guys, I'm going to go record. That means, like, don't come in here. And as we all know, my parents are masters of stealth, which means you hear the creak of the door open. Benjamin, do you want a snack? Benjamin, where's the tape?
My dad will probably walk in here. Poor thing is having such a rough time at home. I said, well, Dad, what are you doing? He's like, taking care of your grandfather, taking care of your mother. I undercooked a brisket. I said, Dad, this is like your version of falling down. You've never complained my whole life. Like, you could shit on my dad's head and he'd be like, oh, well, how lovely. It was nice spending time with you. You know, how much every time you could afford. He's like having a breakdown. I said, just come to New York. He probably would.
Well, maybe he'll take a lunch order from you again.
He'll be like, have you heard of that broken bird guy? God, nah, what a gay. What a gay.
So needless to say, things are going quite well here in New York. But who cares about New York when we could be talking about Barcelona?
Oh, God. Hey, Barcelona, if you're there, we're sorry.
We brought Bravo brought the Gaudi to Gaudi. That's a little Art Nouveau joke, everyone.
Sorry for the noise. I was getting two more pillows off the top bunk.
Yeah, here's. did you wake up Laverne Cox in the process?
We're never going to get through this week. You know that, right?
I know. I hear like a clacking sound, like something's dangling. Do you have like your prison tags? Do people have prison tags and do you have them and are they dangling?
Oh my God. Okay. Are things still clacking?
Something was clacking.
Right now?
No, now it's not.
Okay.
But I heard clacking stay before very still. When you were exploring different corners of your jail cell.
I'm holding the mic too, like I'm singing in an old jazz club.
Oh, okay. No, I could hear certain rumblings. I heard like a little as you were like laughing, which is not unlike the sound my stomach is making at the moment.
That is my wheezing lungs as I die slowly from emphysema as we record this podcast.
Don't say that, because then who am I going to podcast with? I mean, I wouldn't want you to die either, but like more realistically, I mean, the show must go on. So try to stay alive.
Do you like that I have a button on this I can press up and down for for when I mute? I never have to reach for the mute button again, everybody.
It's a glorious day. So let's talk some Real Housewives of Atlanta, because this week's episode was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
The women went off to Barcelona, Spain on the big trip. Kenya was not there. Kim was not there. Although Kim's presence was massively felt, more evidence that Kenya most likely will be fired, as the rumor suggests.
Well, Kenya's very busy running for president, you know? You know how we talked about last week, how people's opening lines don't really make sense till the end of the season, when you're like, oh, I get it! like a very deep mystery. Well, this is Kenya's. Well, some were saying I can't. I was saying I do. I'm like, you're not Obama, Kenya, okay?
Yeah.
And even if you were, he already been president 8 years, okay? Find a different job.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's a good stance, Ronnie. I'm glad you made it.
Thank you. She's like, yes, we can have hair products. I'm like, well, that is the oddest twist on an Obama.
Kenya, you are not a train that's been underestimated, okay? Think about it. Think about it. Think about it, okay? Little motherfucking engine that could, okay? So,
to warn you about the bad accents you're about to hear, let's let Shamia intro them. She's like, "Welcome to Barcelona, Spain."
We're on Shamia Cam specifically. That was what the Chiron said. Shamia Cam. Which is about to, it's going to be the new global sensation. Did you see that on Shamia Cam? Yes.
Instead of Shamu, because after Blackfish, we can't go see Shamu at SeaWorld anymore. Now it'll be Shamia. Shamia will just pass people in bleachers and pour water on them, talking in bad accents.
And talk about how badly she's been handled. Occasionally eating someone.
She'll grab Portia by her ankle and just drag her down under a bathtub somewhere.
But then she'll have an inspirational movie where she jumps over like a stone retaining wall and goes out to the open ocean. So they get there. Portia's like, "Muy bien, nachos." I was like, okay. I feel like that's probably not exactly a Spanish.
That's actually like the best Spanish English I've ever heard Portia speak.
Yeah. Nini's like, "Ooh, my boobs are falling out." And Candy goes, "You said what?" Candy's voice was out of control this episode. Yeah, it was like in full "See now, Riley" mode.
This was a very Candy squeal heavy episode.
Yeah, a lot of like, I felt like she was communicating with fish. You know, like she was letting like Sana.
Sonic.
I want to say sonogram. I'm like, what do you do? What's it called again when dolphins use sound
what
wave?
What if it was a sonogram? What if she's like, it's a boy.
See now, embryo. She was definitely hitting some interesting tones in her voice. So they arrive and Marlo's
so there
dressed.
Was a headless man dancing in the street. Did you see that? I don't know. There's so much art in Spain. I'm not really sure what's going on, but there's a headless man dancing in the street.
You know, I just go to Tarrytown last night, so I was expecting to see some sort of headless figure, but unfortunately I did not even though having been in a Tarrytown state of mind, I did not see any headless figures, horsemen or otherwise.
Well, Cynthia's like, you know, child, I got this place on Groupon, child. And apparently we can't check until night. So I've decided to take these girls to lunch. And she's like, everybody, I've made papers, child. They say 50 cents, bucket challenge. Okay, she writes 50 cent, 5-0, obviously, C-Y-N-T-H. I don't think that's how you say it.
Well, it's like not a real word, so I think she has the luxury of being able to the luxury of transliteration, right? It's not to be an accurate science.
Only Cynthia would misspell a made up word. Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, scent is a real word, but since so some of the challenges are like pinch a guy's butt. Kendi's like, see. No, Riley, I'm not gonna pinch a guy's butt. The only butt I'm going to pinch is Todd's.
sounds fun, Candy. I love that Candy's like, sexual chocolate, bedroom candy. I'm not gonna pinch a man's butt. I'm like, okay, Candy. Let's go back to talking about fingering cornholes, okay?
Yeah. And Sheree's like, shots with a stranger? Who did shots with a stranger? You doing shots with a stranger? You doing shots with a stranger?
So many of the words in this episode really just made me sad. Nini goes, eat a delicacy.
Yeah. I was working on my Nini earlier this week, and I'm proud to say I've forgotten all the progress I've made. I was like, I was trying to do like a high pitch sound. She sort of speaks like she goes, Kim, 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 Kim.
I'm not even going to try and do Nini because I sound like just a railing stereotype.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't want to sound like a stereotype, but I feel like Nini is like the final frontier, and we haven't really tried to do Nini voice. And I noticed that she has sort of like a round falsetto, right? So I was trying to do like a Kim. See, they're all wrong.
Kim. I'll get that.
I had gotten it like okay. I was like... in my car, and I was doing it in my car, and I was like, this is starting to get sort of like Nini. But now I've forgotten it.
I can never get Nini. I won't even do it in my car because I'm like, oh my God, someone's going to pass me in my car and they're going to be like, that guy's a racist. Yeah, now, I know that that's silly because, of course, so many of these sound stereotypical, but it's not. Like, Sheree is very Sheree. Portia is very Portia, and Candy is very Candy, okay? There is only one Nini, and she makes me fucking crazy, and I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, we're just trying. We're actively trying to sound like these women, just like on any of the other shows. But the problem is we're not very good impersonationists. So impersonators, delicacies. And so like it gets dangerous because people might think we're just being like, oh, you think all black women talk like this? We're like, no. We are trying to get to this goal of our voice, but we just can't get our voice there yet.
Yeah. You know what, guys? Nini's a mountain that I just don't want to climb. Like every other mountain, I just don't want to climb it.
She's like K2, you know?
No, what is that?
Super K2 is like the most dangerous mountain in the world.
I don't
know. So there. So anyway, Portia's
thank
like,
you for the education.
Yeah, it was a really quick lesson that was like not that entertaining. So
I'm literally rolling back and forth in bed. I cannot get over how amazing this is doing this in bed. I'm sorry for the noise, but I'm just giggling like a little kid and rolling back and forth in bed. So thank you. Carry on, please.
No, I just like that I'm teaching you about all the cold weather things, like K2 and Adam Rippon.
Broken Bird! Ow! God damn it! Well, why are you calling your number Broken Bird, stupid? It's like self-fulfilling prophecy. He's like, my ankle! Yeah, well, stupid.
Okay, so Portia. Yes, yeah, so
first of all, doing the Cynthia, bucket lists are for dead people, okay? Rent the movie Bucket List. Just watch that, okay? Those people are dead now, I think. Who is
for mature
movie?
People. Mature people.
Yeah, I think they're dead now. And guess what? I don't think Jack Lemmon did everything on his bucket list. You know? It's like a list. It's like one of those lists you're just never going to live up to, you know? It's like my goal calories for the day. Guess who doesn't make that list anymore? Me. And I'm a happier, fatter person for it, Cynthia. Get over it. You're 50. We don't care.
Yeah, exactly. So they're all getting onto a party bus, and Nini starts doing a Candy impersonation, which is actually very funny because her impersonation is basically like, "Well, I don't want to do that. Why should I do that? I don't want to do that." They all just start cracking up, telling Candy that she's dry. Well, basically, it's Marlo saying how dry she is.
And Candy, Candy, you be so dry. Speaking of bucket list, now that's someone living on her bucket list, okay?
Marlo, yeah. Every day is her bucket list.
She's like, on my bucket list, I wanted to wear a red flower in my hair. I'm doing it.
On my bucket list, I want to look like flamenco in Spain. Yeah, she has an etiquette. She says that she has an etiquette class and she wants to teach Candy some etiquette, which is crazy because if anyone has etiquette in this group, it's probably Candy, and it's probably definitely not Marlo. So this is when Candy first unleashes her. This is when she unleashes her next, you know, noise. She's like, oh, looks at Marlo and says, "Oh, I need some etiquette from her, girl. Bye."
She sounds like when you wake up in New York City and forget you're there, and you're like, what are all those noises? It's like a trash dumpster being lifted, a little child being run over in the street, a bus trying to make a U-turn. It's like all these things going on at one time, you know?
Yeah, I think the trash definitely a garbage truck backing up makes sense, because you got the beep, 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 but then also the
walk. Walk. I hear doors slamming outside my hotel room, and I know it's like Europeans coming out. Like, what the fuck?
I think it's a fire alarm. They're like, oh, these New York fire alarms so strange. To the lobby.
Let's not go shave together.
So
also, wasn't Marlo the one who burped for like 5 solid minutes last week?
Yeah, I believe
at the dinner
so.
Table.
At the dinner table, yeah, and then had to, and then left, and then tried to leave the dinner early because she was gonna like, what was she gonna go to a nursing home?
Oh yeah, she said she had to go see her brother in the nursing home, and Porsche is like, that's closed, it's late. She's like, ugh. I have to say, Candy has so many lines today, and it's so fun seeing her just have fun with the girls, because it's kind of rare, you know? She's either staying quiet or being pulled into a fight, and this time, she's just laughing her ass off at everybody, and she ends the scene by going, because Marla's like, I got an etiquette class for you, and she goes,
girl, bye. I've been trying to work on the Candy skeptical laugh that she does that, you know, when you say something like, Candy, you're gonna sleep in the basement. She does like that. It's like your tripping laugh. I don't think I'm really, really expressing it to the best of my abilities right now. So I'll also come back with that.
No, you are. It's just hard because it's our first show of the day.
She goes,
it's like a squeal. I'm going to do this hotel.
Oh, my God. My parents, meanwhile, are trying to do their tax in the other room. I can't even imagine what they think is happening. And they're like, this is our son.
You know that they're just sitting there looking at each other, shrugging at each other. Like,
Making plans for lunch.
Yeah, they're doing that. They're giving each other those eyes like, that's your son. That's your son. That's your son.
Well, the lunch process is full of lots of weighty decisions. Like, well, we have chicken from last night. There's fish in the we have some fish. We have steak in the freezer. Do you want that? I don't know. It's like that for like half an hour.
It sounds like this show.
Yeah,
except
exactly.
On this show, it sounds like.
Leftovers.
What Candy is really saying when she says is fish sticks. So Shamia
starts asking about Kenny and Kim. She's like, so where are Kenny and Kim? Are they coming on the trip? And they're like, no. And basically
Nini goes, they're very late.
No, she said, "You're very late. You're very late," because she's not up on the news.
Oh, I thought and, she was saying they're very late.
Yeah, and basically Nina's like, you know, Kim can't do anything without Croy. And then they show this montage that's so hilarious of Kim showing up at places and like making sure she can see Croy. She's like, "Okay, I see you. Okay, I see you. Love you,
Mom." It's just her getting out of multiple cars. I mean, the same car multiple times. She's like, "Okay, baby, thanks," with the silo cup. She can't get rid of her silo cup either. Why is nobody talking about that?
Maybe because it's called a solo cup, not a silo cup.
God damn it. What is wrong with me? I know that.
I don't know. You have some sort of aphasia. So
I have some sort of fantasia. I believe.
I love that movie, Some Sort of Fantasia, with Mary Stuart Masterson.
What if Fantasia just played every role in Fantasia?
She's just like the Fantasia's apprentice. It's also my Kendi Burris impersonation of Fantasia. Fantasia splitting into multiple Fantasias and running around Mickey Mouse.
Oh my God, I'm not even on drugs.
I'm not either. It's this New York air. So Nini starts, she's going off on Kim, and she's like, you know, Kim is the only person that has blood clot, surgery, thyroid, cancer, heart attack, a weave shortage, you know, a stub toe, a hangnail, and it's still negative, which is kind of true. I mean, Kim is super negative, and she hasn't, like, all these things haven't made her have a new lease on life. She just starts to become more and more like, I've been through this. I'm Kim Zolciak, you know?
It's true, but, you know, Nini can't even describe it right, because she's like, Kim and Croy, they have a codependency on each other. I'm like, what? She makes it sound like they've got, like, a ticket out on each other. Like she's such an idiot, okay? I can't root for Nini, and I cannot root for Kim. I refuse for either.
I was kind of rooting for Nini a little in this episode. Well, back and forth, because there were a lot of different instances that were a lot of things were happening, but I did like when she goes, she needs to have an electric stroller, which doesn't even make sense. I think she meant scooter, but the idea of Kim being an electric stroller is
she needs
so
a jazzy.
Hilarious. Oh my God. And then,
so
yeah,
Sheree, to stick up for her friend, goes, I don't know about the open heart surgery. Like, that's the only one. She was just listing like artificial ingredients and like candy bars. Like, that's the only thing you can find to disagree with.
Yeah, and then he's like, Kim has had every disease in the book and then claims to be happy. Bitch, I can't tell.
She's like, she's got aspartame, high fructose corn syrup,
Lehman's disease, which is similar to Lyme disease but even more sour. So then, like, after like 10 minutes of the show being on, they're like, oh hey, look, there's Eva. Like, and Eva's just like sitting there, like, oh, there's Eva. And she's just like, I, you know, being a model, I just have a Zoolander face all the time around Caddywomen. I just look at them and try to stay beat at the same time.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Eva. I know it's hard to jump into this cast. I get it. But A, other people have put more time in. Shamia. And also, Eva, I'm not really into somebody wearing Gloria Swanson turbans when they haven't earned it. You have earned nothing. And stop talking about the mayor. He did
How
not marry you.
How dare you?
We will
See,
get
here's
into,
the thing.
We will get
she
into
hasn't
Eva
earned it
as
for you,
Eva.
But for some of us have been on the Eva journey for many years. And I think that we would all counter what you just said. Because some of us were there, America's Next Top Model Season 3, when Eva Pigford first came into our lives.
Her name is Pigford. Pigford, exactly. Come on. What kind of model is going to go out with the name Pigford? Be smart enough to at least change your damn last name if you're.
Are you
be a
saying?
Model.
Are you saying that there's someone out there named Eva Pigford who's wearing a turban and that's something you don't like? It's like the most turban-y name. Like, her name is Eva, first of all, and her last name is Pigford. You know, it's like not even Pigford, like Mary Pigford. It's Pigford, and she's wearing a turban. I think it's perfect.
God, I'm trying to approve so hard.
Just let her working. Listen, I'm not saying that she's going to be great on the show, but I'm cautiously optimistic. She had some funny lines this episode, but we'll get into it. So
yeah, we'll get there when we get there. But guess where we're still not going to get to? The villa, because no. They still can't check in there.
Yeah. So Cynthia's like,
I'm going to take you all to a beautiful hotel that we won't be staying at, but you'll get a taste of luxury before we go to our Airbnb, or as Nini calls it, our ABCDEFG.
So they go to this hotel for lunch, and they're taking pictures on the balcony, and Eva immediately slips into next top model mode. She's like, smiles. Smiles on the balcony. Smiles.
And Portia slips right into Portia mode. She's like, yes, Eva girl, give me top model realness. If she opened a model agency, she might give the Bailey agency a run for its money. And then she just eats like a bunch of ham and shrimp off the table.
Exactly. It's funny to use the term run for its money when there's clearly like literally 50 cents in the coffers of the Bailey agency. 50 cent. Whenever Cynthia says 50 cent, she's not talking about her age. She's talking about the
She's Googling herself on networth.com. Celebrity net worth or whatever that is. So let's see. Oh, so Candy makes an announcement. She's like, see my ladies. Beep, beep. Good news. Nini is going on tour with me. She's going to host a tour and do comedy. And Nini's like, yeah, all y'all get raped in an Uber.
It's like, oh. But, I know. I kind of felt bad for Candy at that moment because she was like, Nini and I are in our best place we've ever been. See now, Riley, you can be called her Aunt Nini now. Because we was having troubles for so many years. I was like, oh, Candy. She's so happy about Nini opening. Isn't Nini dropped from Candy's tour after those
comments?
Yes,
and for those of you who don't know what I'm saying, yeah, Nini got dropped because someone was heckling her, and she screamed, why don't you just go get raped by your Uber driver? And then she had to make all these public apology announcements, yeah. And then, of course, she got dropped from Candy's tour. So Candy, trying to support a friend, once again, backfires in her face because now you know that if Nini is back on the show next year, she will be anti-Candy for not standing up for her. I mean, look how she treats Candy even after Candy just gave her a huge job touring arenas that she doesn't deserve.
Yeah, exactly. Except what's going to be annoying is it's going to be all under the guise of a different thing. It'll be Candy and I, she just hasn't been talking. We were in such a good place. And then she stopped talking to me. And then I saw her at the supermarket and she grabbed some cabbage. And I was like, I want the cabbage. And I just don't play like that. You know, it's like, no, this is about the arena tour. This is not about cabbage. But you have to say it's about cabbage or something. You know,
Nini is so fucking ungrateful. She even comes for Candy in this episode when Candy just gave her the job.
I know.
Nini, you are an ungrateful fucking cow. Okay. There. Said it.
So now
I hope you're in your car right now.
So now there's an Eva moment where she's talking about her man, the guy who's running for mayor of Atlanta, and then her ex, she calls her donor, Kevin McCall, who I used to follow on Instagram, which I don't know why. I feel like I have some insight into the Eva story because of that too. So she's talking about that, and she was like, oh, is your boyfriend okay with you dating women as well? I was like, what?
Yeah, Shamia's just like, okay, I'm going to get a job on this motherfucking show if it kills me, okay?
Yeah, I saw it on a blog you dated Missy Elliott or somebody.
I know. I like that she's getting it confused. Like Missy Elliott or Miss Marple. I don't know. There was a miss in there.
Tweet. Did you date Tweet? Was it
Elliot Gould?
I read someone was Elliot Gould. Billy Elliot, you were dating someone on Billy Elliot. The grip? Were you dating the grip? You had a kung fu grip on Mrs. Elliot. The details are so hard. Can you just fill me in?
And Ava's like, no. And Shamia's like, well, I mean, you're beautiful. It's not hard to believe that people can say you dated women or men or had sex with pigs or, you know, got fucked by a donkey one time in an elevator or, I don't know, for...
I heard that you have like a sexual fetish with lampshades. I don't know. Is that true?
Also lamb chops. I mean, just tell us. Like, we totally accept it, but I don't want to leave the bones on the table. Like, it's just going to tempt you.
And like, what sort of lamb? Are we talking about lamb chops like that you eat, or are we talking about like Sherry Wilson?
Please say it's not the puppet. Please.
And Eva's like, am I a lesbian? The answer is no. Did I date Missy Elliott? The answer is no. Have I ever had a girl-on-girl experience? The answer is yes. But still, why are you being messy? Which I actually thought was really funny when she said that. Because here's the thing. On America's Next Top Model, Eva would get into fights a lot. So I'm surprised she's even being so chill right now.
Well, she said at one point on the bus when they were
Sherry Lewis, by the way, not Sherry Wilson. Just wanna.
When on the bus when people were saying, "Well, Eva Child, I hope this isn't giving you a bad impression of the women." She's like, "No, actually, it's good to know where the darts are flying, so I know where to keep my head."
Yeah.
So she's kind of she's smizing it up, if you will, to see like who's she's going to be able to go against. Not as if she hasn't watched this show for every single season it's been
exactly,
on.
Eva. You know where the lines. Actually, no. I'll give her that because we've watched it for every season, and I still don't know where the lines are at any given time.
I wouldn't fucking know because you never know until you're in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, maybe Nene will want something from you and be nice, like she's being to Eva.
Yeah.
Jealous of you and try to get you kicked off and thrown in jail.
All you want to do is go to carpool and get juice boxes ready for the kids. And next thing you know, Kenya Moore is shoving you out of a chair. Things happen quickly. So Cynthia then starts talking because there's all this lesbian stuff. Cynthia's talking about how she wants to go lesbian with Candy. And and then Candy says, "You'll know when she and Cynthia hook up because Cynthia will start defending Candy the way that she defends Will," which was a lot funnier when Candy said it. So there.
Well, it's not that it wasn't funny. It's just that I have this line highlighted. Oh my God! As I'm about to call someone stupid, so it's good that I got my hypocrisy right up there, and I called it hypocrisy,
delicacy. It's really a delicacy.
You know why all of this hypocrisy is leading up to Marla going, "We don't care if you're strictly dickly or, you know, wussly pussly," or whatever she says. But then Cynthia goes, "Now, Candy, you know a lesbinic relationship is not my..." Like, a lesbinic? It's like a tribe out of the old country.
She's being tongue-in-cheek at that moment.
I think she just...
I'm giving you a no, but I'm giving you a no, but not a yes, and
hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy.
And then she goes, "But if it went down, it would be Candy Child." And then they all start laughing and making fun of her. And she goes, "I offer to be served, not conserved, child." What?
I didn't get it, and I was like, I can't rewind this five more times over and over. My mom was sitting right there, and my mom was like, "What are you watching?"
She's like, "Don't put a Brita filter on me, child. I will not be conserved. I will not be filtered. I will be synthed." I'm like, what are you even fucking talking about?
Brita synth.
Get back on the bus.
So Eva starts apologizing to Cynthia about being messy at the party. And this sort of opens the conversation about Will. Did he have a girlfriend? Did he not have a girlfriend? And then, oh gosh. What? My parents are printing something. Did you hear it? Can you hear it? Yeah, here we go. There's a printer right next to the mic, like directly next to the microphone. They're like, "Get all your printing done before the podcast." And you know what
this
means?
It's okay, I actually don't even hear it.
Well, you know what this means? That means it's going to be a knock and then I'll be very quiet. That's the other thing. My dad likes to announce that he'll be quiet. I'm going to be quiet. Here.
Do you hear the printing?
Do you have the printout?
So. Well, this is where Cynthia, and it's good that your dad's going through printing because this is about as useful as Cynthia sometimes. Cynthia, when she can't yell at who she needs to yell at, just starts yelling at whoever everybody else is okay with her yelling at. Usually, that's Portia. Now, this is what brought us to the fight where she got kicked in the stomach.
Yeah.
Or she kicked Portia in the stomach. Who kicked who in the stomach? I always forget.
Oh, Cynthia kicked Portia.
Okay.
But after Portia was like, "Hey, bitch." And she's like, "Don't call me a bitch."
Because this is where Cynthia starts fights with people so she can fight with somebody that she's not afraid of. And it has nothing to do with the other person. So in this example, guess who's getting it again? Portia. So Cynthia starts going off about something that really was Nene and Kenya.
Right, she's going off about Will
and Eva
because she doesn't think that Will. She says that she doesn't believe that Will fibbed because they're like, "Do you think it's possible that Will may have fibbed and like didn't say that he had a girlfriend when he really did at some point?" And she's like, "No, he wouldn't fib. He wouldn't fib."
And then Portia goes,
"But you asked me. I was shocked by the info. Should I tell her or should I not tell her?"
And Cynthia goes, "Be quiet, Portia. I'm trying to finish, child. This is all convo. Me and Eva's conversation. Now the blogs." And then Nene goes, No, wait. did he maybe tell you a fib? And it's totally fine for Nini to interrupt because Cynthia's terrified of Nini.
Yeah,
this is why I can never like Cynthia. She's a fucking asshole, and she always goes for the weak one because she's weak and she's afraid of Nini. So Nini's like, are you sure that maybe he's not a liar and the girls are sticking up for you? And she goes, what, I'm going to believe some girl I've known for 5 minutes, child? I'm like, you knew Will less than that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so then Cynthia, you know, and Portia's feeling all salty because Cynthia essentially dismissed her. And she's like, well, Portia, when you say that somebody told you that Will is being an opportunist, that's like when you said somebody told you that Candy wanted to, like, drug and rape you, you know? So that then that created, like, a tense moment. Although Cynthia's kind of right there, too, you know, because Portia is not good with the
sources. It's an issue that's not hers, and it's an issue that's over, and it's an issue she's already been apologized to for, even though it wasn't about her. So fuck off, Cynthia. Yeah. And then she brings up, she goes, well, we have a history of you saying things about my ex-husband that may or may not have been true. And then we see the clips of Portia being like, well, you better see how he pays his waitresses. I think it's in penis. Which is true, Cynthia.
Yeah,
and we've all seen the pictures, and we've all read the blogs, and we all know it's fucking true. So why are you even bringing that up again and trying to vilify Portia? Portia's done enough in the past.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Like, stop hanging around with slime balls. How about that?
Yeah.
Like, going after women when you hang out with the slime balls, that's not right.
Yeah. Stupid Cynthia. So fuck you, Cynthia. You're an asshole, okay? And you've done a really good job at acting like you're a nice person, and I fell for it again, and you're not. How dare you?
Yeah. Meanwhile, Marlo's like, is this lunch or a snack? And he's like, child, you've eaten enough. You're busting out of your gown, boo-boo.
So let's see here. I'm getting past Uncle Ben rapes, and Portia goes,
but she asked me to tell her, in Texas, I thought I was breaking ground with Cynthia.
I'm like, no.
I mean, just because, like, Cynthia was working at Habitat for Humanity does not mean you're breaking ground.
No. I like that Portia just picks words from wherever she's at and just uses them.
We're breaking ground. Cynthia, I thought we had put drywall on this sink.
It's like, oh, Portia.
So they all go, they're done with lunch. They go down to the van, and they start talking about licking balls and stuff. And like, do they lick balls? When do they lick balls? And they don't, none of them really like to lick balls. And Candy goes, see now, Riley, I think that teabagging is a must.
I mean, this is more disturbing because last year Candy went on her whole Todd won't clean his balls.
Yeah. Thing. Well, now she's see why it was an issue.
Hasn't cleaned his balls in 5 days, 6 days. 18
is
and Portia goes,
that's too close to the asshole.
Which is much further away than, you know, a vagina.
Well, you know, it's, I think, to each their own. Whatever you want to do. I'm not going to comment at either shape or form.
I just wanted to say vagina to see what you would do. I love making you uncomfortable with the word vagina.
No, I'm just trying to figure out how I can segue from teabagging and vagina to La Sagrada Familia. I'm like,
that's how the show did it. They're like, Candy's like, it's part of giving head. Am I dripping? Let's go to church.
So they go to La Sagrada Familia, which is like probably the top tourist destination in Barcelona. And then they get there too late, so they can't go inside. And Portia's so mad. She's like, how does she not know the hours? We came all this way. She doesn't know the hours. What sort of friend is that? Portia. They could have just, like, sent her into, like, a Best Buy and be like, here, is the Sagrada Familia?
Oh!
In her defense, there's very rarely a defense for Portia. But she was saying that because they still couldn't check into the room. Because Cynthia was like, oh, we'll have lunch, and then we'll check into the room, child. It's on the bucket list. But then they were like, nope, still can't check in. And Portia's like,
how we come all this way? You don't know what the hours are.
No, I think that she was talking about it with the Sagrada Familia, because they couldn't go in the Sagrada.
No, they still couldn't check in, I'm telling you. So they had to wander around the streets and buy hats.
the horror of
Marla
it all.
Marla just kept going, bucket list.
And they made Shamia do like a dance in front of the church. She did some sort of strange kind of like jazz Martha Graham something or another dance.
And I like that Nini was like, she's supposed to be a professional dancer. That would never work in the strip club I used to dance in back in the day, honey. Snaps. Okay, so then we get a commercial for this movie called Annihilation. You guys, Can we just stop ending the world in movies and TV shows? Like,
never.
A nuke could go off right now outside my window. I wouldn't even care. I'm so bored with the end of the world. Like, can we do something else?
Did you see that? Because we both actually saw Black Panther over the weekend separately. But did you see the trailer for Rampage before it? Did they show it?
No, I was at a screening at the Producers Guild, so sorry. We don't waste our time with that kind of things as producers.
Wow. Well, you missed quite a ridiculous trailer. No, because they're adapting Rampage, the old video game, you know, where you play like King Kong or Godzilla and you like bash a city. And it's like The Rock has been raising a little gorilla for all his years, and it's like the gorilla is like his friend. It's one of those movies, but then the gorilla gets like doused with some sort of like weird gas, and then the gorilla becomes oversized. But there's also an oversized lizard wolf thing, and they're like destroying a city. And it is like, I mean, I'm not opposed to like crazy, you know, monster movies like that, like a Godzilla movie. I say sure, fine, but this was so, this was so ridiculous. This is like, it was cringeworthy. The trailer is cringeworthy. And so when you talk about Annihilation, I didn't see the Annihilation trailer, but it could not be as bad as the Rampage trailer. The Rampage trailer, like, if you're buying tickets to see Rampage ahead of time, if you go to Fandango and you're buying ahead of time, please reconsider all of your life choices.
Yeah, you deserve to be annihilated, okay?
Like, I don't care if you go see it, you want to check it out. But if you're like, no, I'm like, I need to go see it ahead of time. I mean, if an hour ahead of time, that's fine. But like a week ahead of time, you really have to reconsider things. Okay, you do.
Recheck your life.
Next on this grand adventure is that the ladies finally arrive at the villa, and they get there. There's like these gates. They walk in. There's like a little flamenco performance, which is really, you know, it's like fun and nice. And then this lady, Victoria, she's like, hello. She's like the Carol Burnett of Barcelona. And so I was very excited because I felt like Victoria was going to be a large player in the rest of this episode.
But, no, they were like, okay, put her to bed now.
Yeah,
she's like, okay. Welcome to the place. And like, woo, woohoo, woohoo. And the flamenco dancers, Marlo goes, red bottom bloody shoes. Social media, how to do it, girl. Yes, work.
But that may have been a Cardi B reference.
Oh.
I'm not, don't quote me on that.
Oh my God. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a different world when I recap this show. I'm like, what?
Where you come from? I know, it's hard.
You guys, it's hard being a Ronnie.
It's hard. It's hard out there for a Ronnie.
I'm so excited getting here. I spent days and days researching it. It's a hard group, but, you know, hopefully they'll lift me up in a blaze of glory. You fucking moron. Do you know what blaze of glory means? That's when you crash your car in a race in a blaze of glory, okay? You go out in a blaze of glory and die, Cynthia.
Or you are listening to a Bon Jovi song of a similar name. So, yes. So they go into this villa and they're acting like they're being put up in the hostel from the movie Hostel, okay? Because they're like, oh my God.
How am I supposed to get my leg out of here?
See? Nah. Hostel. Yeah, there's like, we're seeing all sorts of decor choices, like a little love seat that's in the shape of lips and foosball. Admittedly, the idea of these women in the same space as a foosball table is kind of hilarious. But
that was their greatest example of terror was the foosball table.
It's like a close up on one of the soccer players on the pole. Like, this is what's going to happen to you. You'll become human foosball players.
Where did they just show a foosball table like that? It was like this terrifying scene. I think it was something in Black Mirror where they were like, look, it's a foosball. Ooh, now the foosball is playing by itself. Like, it's like the second time in a week I've seen a terrifying foosball table.
It's like, what's next? A player piano? So, they show a close up of like,
playing that like, piano.
They're like, we're used to luxury. And they show a flashback of all these beautiful villas they've stayed at. And like, and this place is crazy. And they show a close up of a flower on a towel, just resting on a towel. Like, oh my God. The inhumanity of it all.
I know. Well, there's been a lot of talk online, people saying, don't they pay? I mean, doesn't Bravo pay for these? Why are they all acting like Cynthia has to use a Groupon and this and that? Now, normally, of course, Bravo pays, but this did raise some questions, because if Bravo didn't pay and this place was given for free for shooting, they wouldn't have been allowed to say all this mean shit about the place, right? Because,
no,
I mean, it was a clip of every single woman saying something really horrible.
No, to me, it was pretty obvious that basically Bravo paid, but they probably had to take these ladies to Houston. They took them – didn't they go – they went somewhere else in the beginning of the season, right? Didn't they have like a little mini trip somewhere? I forget where it was.
I forgot.
But they went somewhere, I think. San Francisco. They went to San Francisco. Now they're in Barcelona. They have – and they're paying Nini and they're paying Kim Zolciak. And especially if those rumors are true that they are getting all this money. And on top of that, all these women probably have big salaries anyway. They don't run out of money. That's what I say.
Yeah, they're like, probably just
fine, we'll take you to Barcelona. Yeah, like we're telling you to take you to Barcelona, but like we don't have money for a fancy villa. We have money to take you to lunch at the nice place, and then you're staying at this perfectly fine place, by the way. I mean, it's not high luxury, but it wasn't like some like it looked like a real world house, or like it looked like it had been a real world house about 7 years ago. And
well,
now
it's like when you stay in a really nice Airbnb, it can be as nice as you want it to be. You're still expected to clean the bathroom. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, although I do feel bad. I do think that the Airbnb that the Shah's of Sunset stayed in New York City was nicer than this one. And if you're ever staying in a place that's worse than a Shah's of Sunset location, that's problematic.
Yeah, too late to check yourself. You've already wrecked yourself, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't know why I said that. So stupid. What's wrong with
it,
me? What's happening?
It was evocative. It was
evocative. I'm blaming the bunk bed, okay? So now this is where Nini pulls her regular cow Nini bullshit out of her ass, as she does every time. She's like, now, Cynthia knew there wasn't going to be enough bathrooms, but as the host, I'm not going to share a room. Nini, you're not the host. What are you fucking talking about? You don't get to just say you're the host. Cynthia planned the whole party and invited the whole party. You don't get to just call yourself the host just because. What did you do? Nothing.
That's actually funny. I totally forgot about that, because you mentioned that on the last episode. That this was – Cynthia was like, yeah, I'm thinking about taking everyone to Barcelona. And that Nini jumped in and started making demands like she was a host. And now this episode, she's fully calling herself the host. That is hilarious.
And Cynthia is such a pussy, she's not even arguing. She's just like, okay, yeah. Nini, okay, whatever.
She's like, my bucket list was to co-host a trip to Barcelona with you, so I'm going to let you take this.
She doesn't know it, but we just checked something off. Hashtag Synth, hashtag bucket list. Now, next, co-host a party with Danny Glover.
How do you say bucket list in Spanish? El bucket listo. So now it's the honor tradition of claiming rooms on a vacation on a reality show. So everyone starts claiming rooms, taking rooms, and Candy makes her way upstairs and finds this like purple room, and she's like, see now, Riley, this is my room now. Ooh, don't want no drama, don't need no drama. And as it happens, Candy's room is like the biggest room and has a balcony and a bathroom and a couch and whatever. So, of course, the sharks start to circle.
And they keep tricking Sheree.
Is that what was happening?
Yeah, they kept tricking Sheree. She'd be like, I want this room. They'd be like, okay. And then she'd go, oh, this is a nice room. They go, you already have one. She goes, no, I don't. And then she'd go back to the other one. They're like, no, that other room's yours. Oh, okay. I'm going to that other room then. They'd be like, no, this one's not yours. That other room is. And then she ended up getting stuck in the basement, which is the ultimate karma since she doesn't have a done basement yet.
Yeah, Portia's like, bye, girl. Down to the basement you go. Honk, honk.
And then she tries to get shady to Kenya. She's like, if I wanted to be staying in a room with mold and mildew, I'd have gone to more mana. I'm like, your basement's not done. So.
Yeah, turn. It was funny because I didn't really understand what was happening with Sheree. She was sort of like walking back and forth. And then next thing I knew, she was just going, she just went down to the basement. Secretly, I like staying in the basement. Although it would have been funny if she pulled a Luann and said, well, I just thought it would have been considerate, considering I was just married to my new house and I have a new boyfriend named Tyrone in jail, that I would get a nice room. It would have been considerate.
Do I get cell service down there?
You got passports? You got passports?
Tiene un phone call from her prison, Tyrone.
It's Tom calling from prison. Tom, by the way, got into it. Did you see that Tom got into an issue in Palm Beach? I'm so excited that we're doing a show in West Palm Beach because every week there is another incident happening in Palm Beach regarding Housewives. It is amazing, and I would not be surprised if Real Housewives of Miami gets rebooted as Real Housewives of Palm Beach because, like,
well, they've already got that cast member waiting. Oh, no, that was in Boca. Never mind.
Well, there's Marisol. Oh, yeah, but there's also Marisol Patton, who should not come back.
God, no.
She's not interesting. She just hangs on to all these ladies. She should never come back as a cast member. If you relaunch Real Housewives of Palm Beach, don't have her come on. But, oh, my God, I'm so excited we're doing a show. I mean, it's not till August, but I want to see all the sites because Tom got into – I think Tom had an issue with the cops this past weekend because he got into a fight with a former business partner in West Palm Beach at a restaurant.
Well, also I heard that Luann rejected her plea deal because she didn't want to serve jail time, and I guess there was jail time included in that deal. And so she rejected it, but now she's almost definitely going to serve jail time.
I'm like, Luann, what are you doing?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'm like, Luann, if you reject the plea deal, I mean – the cop has like pictures on the internet showing the welt on his, well, not really a welt. It's like a red mark. Like he just got slapped. It's like that Marine in the Real World San Diego who got slapped by Robin. It's like, come on, you're a Marine and you're going to call the police on Robin. Well, this police officer has like a red mark from where Luann slapped him.
Hello, you have a clear call from me.
It's all good. She'll get put up in Danbury, following in the footsteps of Teresa and Martha Stewart, and will come out a national hero. Not that she already isn't one.
Yeah, she's already there with us, baby. So, next up.
So the bedroom issue. So Candy claims this bedroom up top, and everyone wants it, and they're all fighting for it. And now Nene is mad that Candy isn't letting Nene take the awesome room.
Yes, and I don't care. But Nene is like, Nene's like, okay, everybody, we need to have a meeting. So she calls this group meeting, and then she has a fan that she whips out and snaps. And she's like, now, we got to go to dinner, so I'm going to make this really fast. But we feel that the mature girls are mature, so the mature girls should go to the top. And then Candy goes, not falling for it. And she goes, no, but what I was saying was, and she's like, not falling for it. I'm not
I'm not changing. I'm not changing. That's what Candy does. She puts a hard consonant in her words when she gets mad. We already talked about it. I'm not changing.
And Nene does back off, she does, but only because Candy just gave her a goddamn arena tour, okay? And Nene still has the nerve. So she starts to, but then first she tries to change the fight, right? Because Candy just goes, stop it.
Nene, don't want no bedroom, don't need no bedroom.
So basically Candy's like, you know, she's like, see, Nene, like the moment, like you hate talking, the moment someone talks about your age, you always are like, don't talk about my age, but now you're like, I'm mature. And Nene goes, I'm the one girl who never says anything about age. And then it says on screen, it goes a flashback. It goes 1 minute ago. They do a flashback to a minute ago. It was so shady. I love that the producers are just as shady as the people on screen.
And then she's like, I did not say age. I said mature. I did not say age, which, you know, poor Nene. God bless her heart. Like, you know that that's, you know that. That's kind of
how
what
is that
means,
supposed
right?
to be any better? Like the other, like
a fucking idiot.
You're basically so you're like, no, I did not mean it by age. I'm actually casting a judgment on you.
Fight with stupid. Okay, I'm sorry to quote old presidents that we don't need to remember, but you can't argue with stupid. So Nene's like, well, look, I'm going to go
about
to my
Chester Arthur or
huh?
Are you talking about Chester Arthur or?
I'm talking about Abraham Lincoln. Okay. When he chopped down that cherry tree and made wooden teeth for George Washington and then invented
Adams
apple
was like,
pie.
What's up? I'm not going to give up my shot. Oh, that's Hamilton.
I'm not going to give up my shot. He's like, and I'm telling you, I'm not going.
And then like Jefferson was all like, memories.
He's all moving on up to the east side. So Mimi, out of nowhere, and this is mentioned a couple of times. She goes, "So I'm going to go to my giant tub with some Clorox bleach, honey. See you at dinner." Now, then Sheree later says something like, I've got an APB out on some Clorox bleach. What is that?
I think that they're trying to bleach all the linens and towels. I think they were just not happy with the amenities in this place.
Oh, because I was like, is that a cultural thing? What do people use Clorox bleach for that I don't know about? Because I need to know.
Yeah. Because I need to know. So Shamia and so Nini actually, like, you can't, Candy is intractable, and Nini loses this battle. So they all retreat to their rooms, and Shamia and Portia are hanging out in a room going over Portia's lines for her play. And we learned that Portia's eye got infected.
Portia goes,
"This is a new script I got. They go into detail with Connie. In other words, she got a lot of lines."
So,
as if she would mean stage directions.
She's like, "Oh my God, cross stage left, I win."
So, yeah, Shimmy is like, "Why are you wearing your sunglasses everywhere we go? It's like they get cheaper every time we go somewhere." And she's like,
"Girl, you know I got allergies to that eyelash glue."
Yeah, she said, "My girl, she did something weird or whatever." So then we upstairs, Marlo's talking with Cynthia and Nini, and Marlo's being like, "Do me a favor, Cynthia. When the girls talk about Will, just be graceful about it." I'm like, please, this is, Marlo, just drop this etiquette thing. Yeah. You're not the one to talk about grace.
She's like, just be graceful about it.
Although, I mean, ever since Marlo fixed Nini's bun while she was fighting with Portia, she has gone up in the helpful friend department.
Yeah, Marlo is actually making an effort this year. And she goes, "Don't get defensive." And Cynthia goes, "When did I get defensive?" And Nini's like, "Well, she was correct when she said Portia talked about Peter in the past." I'm like, hi, do you remember talking about Peter in the past? Because you hated his ass. Like, you had a housewife fight with Peter for seasons, okay?
Yeah, exactly. And it actually derailed your friendship with Cynthia.
Well, so, use it as a reason to yell at Portia, Cynthia. You wuss.
Yeah. So we're sort of cross-cutting between the two conversations, and Portia saying how her feelings are hurt because she thought she was bonding with Cynthia, but then Cynthia was, you know, dismissed her at that lunch or whatever. And Nini, meanwhile, is like, okay, let's make this about me. She's now mad again. She's mad about Candy for saying the age shit, even though it was Nini who introduced the whole concept of maturity into this conversation. And Nini's like, "We look the same age. Like, how could you say this up? We look the same age." I'm like, you're the one who called yourself the more mature lady here, and we all know what you meant by that.
Yeah, and Marlo's like, "Well, I think she has a beef with me. She can't take my mouth." And Cynthia goes, "But you say, you're the one who said, you know, she's dry and this and that." She goes, "Yeah, but she says I'm a Mongol."
No, she didn't say it. She said, I think she was like, I think, or I thought she said.
And Nini started cracking up, and she goes, "A mogul?" And she goes,
"Mogul, yeah.
Oh, yeah, a mogul. That's what I'm trying to say."
And Nini just flops over, like, I'm dead. So, meanwhile, Sheree goes into Portia's room, and she's like, "I haven't put on my pajamas yet. I didn't put on some APBs on some bleach." That's that bleach moment. And then they're like, "What about?" They ask her to pass a towel or something, or they're looking at the towel, and Sheree's like, "Chuck, you can exfoliate with these. You don't need a pumice stone for this." It's like, pumice, pumice, delicateness, hypocrite. Goes,
"You know what's funny? Kim would not have saved you. Let's call her." Call Kim. And Sheree's like, "Hey, boo, hey." And Kim's like, "Is the weather nice? Tell me everything. Is there flamenco? Tell me all
about
it.
Did you see Vicky and Christina?
Is the rain in Spain insane? On the membrane?
Is it true? It's just so many bars there. Isn't that why it's called Barcelona?"
So Portia's
bars
like,
for loners.
"It's beautiful.
Get it?
There's a slight chill at night, but it's still nice."
Like, okay, thanks for your TripAdvisor review. And Sheree's like, "Kim, guess who's not here?" She's like, "Ronald Reagan." "No. Well, I mean, he's not, but that's not who I mean."
Ronald Glover.
"No. Why do you keep guessing Ronald's?"
"I don't know."
"Marissa Tomei."
Well, at least it's not a Ronald. But she's not here either. But that's not who I mean.
By the way, I apologize. My stomach is making weird noises, and I don't know if you guys can hear it, but I apologize. It sounds like one of those, you know, those toys that, like, those little cans, when you turn it over, it moves. That's what my stomach sounds like every minute.
It's like the Nini toy. Actually, it's funny because we're hunger sisters, because I was just having a grumbly stomach too, and I looked up and I have a croissant wrapped in plastic staring at me from the desk. I'll see you later, my little broken croissant bird.
Well, anyway, so they're talking to Kim, and she's basically and then they're like, well, Kenya didn't come. And she's like, well, shit, I could have come then, you know. And like,
well,
straight,
you could have come, but Nini said that you have polio, AIDS, the BRCA virus, Ethiopia.
Shingles both in your body and on your house.
A 2 cheeseburger meal from McDonald's.
Swine flu, SARS.
And she also said, you can't be without your husband. And Kim's like, she doesn't know what the fuck I do because I don't talk to her.
I'm like, you just said last episode, well, can Croy come? You know, it's like, she doesn't have to, like, talk to you to know that you said you would only come if Croy could come.
Yeah.
Like,
and Portia's like,
well, I just wanted to say, I'm so happy for you for being a cancer survivor. Congratulations. Cancer runs in my family.
Kim's like, wait now, what'd you say? What was that?
And then we got a commercial, and for some reason they cut to that egg building.
Yeah. They love a good Gherkin-style skyscraper. They're like, look, in the city of Art Nouveau, let us show you some new art. Get it?
Let us represent cancer with this giant industrial egg.
Financial, it's like a giant... It's like a giant supplement. Put it in your ass. So,
she's like, I'm not a cancer survivor, and I want to know who the fuck told you that. And Portia goes, maybe I misunderstood. Are you a Virgo?
I'm a Sagittarius survivor.
So Sheree, of course, I like how Sheree is just shameless about gossiping. She's like, see, no, well, sorry, that was Candy. You got Candy Boys? Nini said something to the effect that Kim is the only person I know who has a stroke, a blood clot, open heart surgery, cancer, and bum leg, Russell leg syndrome, three legs, everything with legs.
You need a Jazzy. She's like, Jazzy, that sounds good. It's like the one thing she'll agree to. She's like, she's scum, and I won't fucking acknowledge it. You know, the same bitch who parks in the handicapped spot? What she needs to worry about are the roaches in her house. Oh, wait, I'm going to get that video. Hold on. Damn it. Like, she just starts going full on Leanne.
She did. Sorry, I accidentally turned on Siri during that, and there was almost an issue. There's, like, a Siri button on my laptop now, and I grazed it, and then Siri was like, hello, how can I help you? Cancer? So there's like, what to do if you have cancer, a stroke, open heart surgery, thyroid medicine, bitch. Like, Siri, go away. This is not your moment.
Dr. Roach.
So Kim is just like losing it now. Kim is like, is this bitch for real?
This is not going to end well.
She's like, that's exactly my plan.
So in the kitchen, the guys are cooking, and Marlo is getting set up for dinner. And she's putting a crown down at one chair for Kenya and a blonde wig down at another chair for Kim.
And the producers give the wig a chyron. It says wig, and under it, in quotes, Kim. But there's actually a wig there. So everyone starts to assemble for dinner. And then Portia and I think Shamia get nominated to be bartenders. So they're taking orders.
Nominated, told by Nini that they're going to be bartenders.
Yeah, they're like, so what? Like, what does everyone want to have? And Sheree's like, I'll have a vodka and Fanta. And even Borsch is like,
vodka and Fanta?
And then Sheree goes,
that's a special guest. That's a special guest.
She's in Borsch is like, you guys are shady as hell.
So Nini is still very cranky about Candy and the age comments or whatever, and she starts calling Candy out about it, and Candy's like, see now, Nini, you're the one who's my accents are all derailed right now. I'm like still in a very like the roaches, Kim Zolciak's roach moment is like derailing me. But Candy's like, you came for me first. You came for me first. See now, Riley, you came for me first. See now, Nini.
You're always saying elders, this and that. Elders, this and that. She's like, did I say elders? I said mature, not age. I'm like, you're an idiot. Okay. And then,
yeah.
And then Candy's like, let's be for real. Not that far from Social Security time.
And then I believe there was one of the skeptical laughs in there. The, no, still don't have it. Still don't have it.
Then Marlo, they serve soup, and Marlo goes, what kind of soup is this? Something with something. They're like, pumpkin. She's like, oh.
That's usually the way soups go, something with something.
Something with something.
Is this all with something? Season with some something? Yeah. waiter, I think I'll have L something with L something, but maybe some something on the side. Thank
Marlo's
you.
Cookbook. Something and something. So Cynthia's like, well, someone's got a best of food, child. And she means, like, ask the elders to do it.
And Nini starts freaking out. Did you say elders, bitch?
I'm going to drag you, bitch. And she means, like, do not come for me. And she's like, do not 100 come for me. That means 100. I don't even know what Nini's talking about.
She's saying,
at this
I
point.
Go from 0 to 100. But poor Shamia, she thought she was making a funny callback. And, like, she didn't realize that it had been, like, resolved. That's why she'll never be on the show. She's always just, like, a little bit off.
I know. Candy's like, don't yell at us. I named a restaurant after you.
Yeah.
So Nini's like, I'll say the prayers. Sex. I'll say the prayers. Lord, please understand. I am a 0 to 100. And I've used all the passes you gave me, honey. Amen.
Did you notice?
The girls are touching the Kenya crown.
Yeah, exactly. They're like holding hands with the crown and the wig. And then Eva pipes up. Eva is like, oh yeah, Eva's here. And she's like, wow, this is a new level of shade. I mean, I'm from LA. This is like Snoop Dogg, sit back, blow a joint. It's not that deep. I'm like, oh God, is Eva the new Teddy Mellencamp?
Yeah, she gets to LA and she's like, hello, Mayor, we're dating and you are now the father of my child.
Yeah.
That's how we do it in LA, people. So Marlo's like, since I said Candy is dry, she's so ornery. Candy's like, you opened your mouth all day.
Well, she gets – Candy was – I made a special note. Candy, ultra high voice, because she was like, you're the one who gets rid of your mouth all day, Marlo.
Because they keep trying to come for Candy, and she's like, what the hell, people? I'm not leaving the pumpkin soup. So
well, Candy's like, if you tell me I need to take your etiquette class, I'm gonna talk about how bad your etiquette is. I like how Candy, all her shade is very logical, and she presents it very logically, and she defends it logically. Like, well, if you come for me, I'm going to say this, and you came for me, so I said this.
Yes, she's just not. It's like she's dealing with a bunch of old babies, you know.
And Marlo's like, listen, I can be really blunt, and you can be really dry. That's just the way it is. And Candy gives such a stink eye. She like fully cranks herself around all the way to her left, so that way she can do a full 180 degree stink eye all the way to her right. She's like, see now, Marlo.
And Cynthia's like, girl, Candy's been dry as long as we've known her. I don't know why she had to bring that up in Spain. Candy dry in Atlanta, too.
You know, I think a lot of people think being called dry is a compliment. It's like you aspire to have a dry wit.
Yeah. They're not taking it that way. And Candy is just standing up. She's like, see?
She's like about
to order. Yeah, she's like, she's about to go get some more water, because you know she's not leaving the dinner table. Like, Candy will leave a lot of things, but not a dinner table, ever. So she's standing up, and then she's, everybody's like,
gossip
blink,
girl.
Blink, blink, yeah, this blink, is, blink, 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 blink.
This is fully like one of those TV shows where it never really happens in real life, you know, when, you know, it's like a TV show or a teen movie where, like, a scandalous text gets sent out, or
it's like the movie Clue, where they're like, well, I got a letter too. Who did you get a letter from? Oh, I got a letter as well.
But it's always like that movie where someone's in high school and like something embarrassing happened the night before, and someone's it's like a Lifetime movie and you're being cyberbullied. And all of a sudden everyone in the school gets a notification. They look up and they start laughing like, ha, 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 ha. I'm seeing a freeze frame from your webcam. But it was actually happening because they all were
checking their texts. Whoever has a MacBook starts playing their violins on GarageBand. They're like, dun, 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 dun. Dun. And then there's a close up on a wig on the on the blonde wig.
There was. Because the text from Kim and the camera's like, zoom in on the wig.
And Cynthia's like, wait a minute. Kim is not here. So how does she know about the conversation? Not on my bucket list. Hashtag not on my bucket list. And Sheree's like,
Kim says,
she can't be here without a husband. And Nini's
well,
like,
we should,
is that
well,
not
we
true?
Should...
Did I skip?
Wait, but you're skipping ahead vitally, which is that the Kim text, Kim sent a text that said, Nini is sick and disgusting, and I'm not just speaking on the fact that she made fun of a serious health issue I had, but I'm also speaking on the fact that she lives in a fucking roach nest for someone who has two beautiful kids and an amazing husband. She should be worried about karma, but this is coming from the same person who takes handicap spots from the handicapped.
And then Nini goes, fuck Kim. Okay. Now let me say my part and then you guys can chime in. Now let me say my part. And then she starts screaming. And she's like, as far as my house is concerned, can none of y'all bitches step in my house and say another thing? My shit is all new.
Yeah, like brand new roaches.
Yes.
But best part is because Kim also sends the video that Brielle took on Snapchat. And they're all looking at it like, oh, and Eva's like, that's a big bathroom. And they're like, Sheree, this is what you were talking about. Cynthia's like, how did she find out? And Sheree's like, oh, yeah, I told her. Yeah, you know. You got passports? You got gossip?
I'm just waiting to collect the boardwalk bone. And then I'm going to win a mansion.
To me, this was actually very satisfying because remember when we were talking about this on Brandy Glanville's podcast and we were talking about how crazy this whole saga was that – Brielle took a picture on Snapchat, but then Kim released it. And we're like, why would Kim release it? This is so petty and strange. And why is Nini so mad? But seeing everything in this episode, we now see why. And it makes much more sense. It's still petty, but at least it makes more sense.
Yes. And the timing was all off then, right?
Yeah.
Because when we saw it, it didn't seem to be coinciding with the blogs. And then we knew that Nini started shooting late. And so it was all this weirdness about the timing of it. And now we see that she went back and got it and then posted it way after just to get back at Nini, which is so funny. And Nini's like, and you want to talk about my pool? None of y'all even got pools. And Marlo's like, I do.
And Nini's like, I'm sure she has worms inside of her ass. Worms, okay? And then
she can try. I mean, Nini just keeps on trying. But, you know, Nini... You keep dishing it out, but then here you go again. Now you're just saying worms and ass because she cannot come back.
But this is like exactly like Rampage all over again. I mean, are you going to believe – like which monster are you going to believe here? Like which monster can you take the side of? Because it's like, you know, yeah, Nini, you need to relax. But then at the same time, it's kind of like – but Kim is really full of it most of the time. But Nini, you know Nini like – she went to the point of no return when she said, she goes, her and her daughter are disgusting, honey. My motherfucking hut is brand spanking you, which is what you sort of said before. But when she...
It's like Sophie's Choice where you just want both the kids to die. It's like, just take them both.
But you know it's bad. When she says her and her daughter, you know Kim is going to latch on that, be like, how dare you call Riel disgusting? How dare you do that?
I know. Everybody gasped. They were like...
Brielle, not Brielle. With her, I mean, like, honestly, Brielle's lips were on the third floor landing in this villa. We all saw it.
And then Portia's the couch. Like, well, she just sent a picture of your car in a handicapped spot. And Nini's like, well, that shows you what a liar this girl is. I'm like, really? Because you're parked in a handicapped spot.
Well,
so
yeah,
she's like, she said she didn't see me. I'm a big foot, six foot tall bitch. And she said she didn't see me in a handicapped spot. She's like, my goddamn husband has a handicap sticker because he's handicapped. Yeah, bitch. And you don't. And you weren't with him.
Well, she was saying she was saying that she was.
She was not. I don't believe she was. No, there is no way in hell. She is using that handicap sticker to park in the front everywhere she goes. You know, Nini is that kind of person.
You know, I do feel that way, but then when it comes to issues with Kim, I just can't tell. I cannot tell who is really telling the truth here. They're both being petty, and they're both accusing each other of doing the same thing, which is lying and not being forthcoming. And they're both kind of really stupid. But it was hilarious.
The main point is, as Portia puts it,
well, their relationship clearly hit rock bottom. Hey, girl, hey, the handicap sticker, then roaches in your face, then rocks thrown, then something made out of pumpkins, then below the belt.
Yes. She summed it up perfectly.
That's our Portia.
Shade, talking roaches dirty, now below the belt.
And Sheree's like, but you made fun of her? And Nene goes, what did I say? And Sheree's like, does she have Parkinson's, AIDS, cancer? Blah, blah, blah. And Nene's like, she is
ALS, MLS, MLB, NBA, NFL.
I was bucking on her hand. And Nene's like, she is an excused person, and I stand by that. Which, you know, I'm not going to argue with that. And she goes, what are you going to record a water bug in my pool? You bitches don't got pools. And then Marla's like, I got water bugs in my pool, or whatever. And Nene's like, here's the difference. I worked for every dollar. You spread your legs and got it from your man. I was like, that's true. But like she's also worked doing the same thing you have. She has the same job as you, stupid. And she has her own TV show.
That's true. That's true, too. I do feel like if we're going to compare moral character, not that we really are in any place to do that, but if we were going to, I would say Nene has a bit more than... I mean, Kim Zolciak, we can never forget that Kim Zolciak really is the bottom. She is the bottom of the barrel. And, you know, we have been very anti-Nene this season because we feel like she's become a diva and she just is so over the top and she is really obnoxious. But I feel like we must never forget that Kim Zolciak is all that and then worse.
Well, let's also not forget that Nene ends this episode by going, she's just a stupid bald-headed bitch. And listen, I'm a stupid bald-headed bitch and I take umbrance.
I thought that was hilarious.
Dysfunctions.
Bald-headed bitch. Although, again, it would have been great if Claudia Jordan were there to shade Nene about her edges, because it just, you know, it all is full circle.
Remember like, when we learned about edges? Remember when we were like, what's an edge?
That was a big moment for our whiteness. We're like, what is an edge? We thought it was about her personality. We're like, is she saying that she's like dull? Like she's not like as sharp as she used to be? She has no edges?
Yeah. Remember when we learned like how a vagina worked? Oh, you guys, watch what Crappens teaches us so much.
I know. We love being in the bubble, you know?
Well, that brings us to the end of our episode. We will be back tomorrow. With a different schedule. Tomorrow we're going to do Summer House since we are doing Vanderpump Rules at our live show. So Vanderpump Rules will be Wednesday this week, and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills will be on Thursday, followed by Top Chef on Friday.
Yeah, and we'll try to get Beverly Hills up a little earlier than Thursday if we can, but it probably will be Thursday. We'll see. Just keep – you know what? Here's what you do. You subscribe, and guess what? The episodes will just roll into your podcast app. And you don't have to worry about looking out for them. They will just arrive. They will come to you. We, Ben and Ronnie, will come to you.
Yeah.
And if you go to watchwhatcrappens.com, then you can also come to us and see us live at various places. Our next show is in Houston. We have about 100 tickets left there. Let's sell it out. 100. If we just need like 25 people to buy 4 tickets. That's all. But seriously, come see us. These live shows are amazing. If you are in Houston, the Houston area, we really can't recommend coming enough. That's as much as we're talking about this Barry Ballroom show being, you know, our biggest show ever. The Houston show is going to be our second biggest show if it sells out. So that'll be a huge show as well. So we're very excited for that. We'll see a bunch of people tomorrow, and we'll be back to talk Summer House tomorrow. So bye, everyone.
Ciao. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I'm Gavin Monroe, we're full grown, and we grow trees directly into the shapes of chairs and tables and lamps. We were in the Saturday Times, and that seemed to start off a bit of an avalanche of media interest from all over the world. We called the Department for International Trade. Lady came out, she really broke it down, helping us know what to do and in what order. And it meant that we could get our products to America, which was one of the main areas of interest. If we can, you can. Search Exporting is great.